Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, we are the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And yes, you can miss me with the blah blah. Forget Geno time. We're watching Jay do the Zaza. We're looking at the hashtag Rain and Jays on Twitter, and I see three GIFs in a row of Jay doing the Zaza dance. Very appropriate tonight, Jay, after a 30-point win. Finally, look, the Celtics finally just stepped up, especially in the second half. The second half was a huge half for the Celtics tonight and just blew the doors off Orlando without Isaiah. And I'm happy to watch Jay do the Zaza tonight.
I mean, you got to be happy to watch me do the Zaza. That second half was just one piece of solid execution after the next. The Celtics, I mean, for the full game, 29 assists compared to 10 turnovers, shot 51.8% from the field. If they had shot open three-pointers well in the first half, they could have won by 45 or 50. They really, I thought, took the Magic's hearts. The Magic, that's a good defense. That's a top-five defense. That's a team that normally gets a lot of stops. And the Celtics, even without Isaiah Thomas, just executed so well. The ball movement was crisp. Maybe Gerald Green didn't play well. Everybody else played really, really well. They got contributions from everybody. So really a good game from the Celtics.
Yeah, absolutely. They went into the half down one. So a 30-point win, they went into the half down one. But part of it was because they were outscored 24-6 from three. Orlando was hot, 8 of 10 from three in the first half. The Celtics, meanwhile, managed just 2 3-pointers in the first half. But a combination of the Celtics just relentless and getting a bunch of stops in the second half, especially the third quarter. That third quarter was full of Orlando taking late shot clock attempts, buzzers going off left and right while they were on offense. And meanwhile, the Celtics started getting hot. They hit 11 of 13 to come out of the half. So they found their jumper. Orlando on the second night of a back-to-back started to get that swoon that you expect in the second half of a back-to-back and the second half of the game, the back end of that. So everything just kind of combined, and the Celtics got big contributions all across the board. Terry Rozier, 16 points. That's a career high. Just great games all around.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, Marcus Smart shot 5 of 7 from the field. He was really, I thought, in control of the offense from the beginning. Avery Bradley, 23 points. That huge chase down, not really chase down, but catching up to Evan Fournier for that huge block. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't ever talk shit.
No.
But he was talking shit there, and he picked up a technical foul in the first half. I don't know if he ever has gotten a technical foul. Somebody did something to Avery Bradley. Like, I don't know what the Magic did to him, but he was fired up on another level. That was a meaner Avery Bradley than we usually see.
Yes. When he had that block, it wasn't just get that shit out of here. He seemed a little more emphatic. Get that shit out of here. Like, he just...
Yeah, he flexed on him. Like, that's,
oh, my God. Gave
badly.
A big roar. Like, he was... Something happened. He got a tech. Jarebko got a tech. It's funny. Two tweets that kind of summed this up. You and Ryan Bernardoni at Danger Cart, who said that this might be the loudest the Celtics have been all season. And you saying that Bradley, like others, is playing in all caps lock tonight. That was just kind of, I don't know what it was about the Celtics facing Orlando. I don't know what Orlando did to Boston, but man, they just came out. They had attitude and they were just on fire. That defense was really, really intense all night. And yeah, in the beginning, Orlando was hot. They gave up. They didn't defend the 3-point line as well as they should have. But that second half, man, wow. Just wow. Locked them down. And let me just give a shout out to Marcus Smart, who I don't know if he gets some sort of advanced game film from the future, because he just sees passes coming left and right. He just steps into passing lanes, jumps before the guy's making a pass across the court. Like, I don't know how he does it, but 2-3 times a game, he just is anticipating things better than I've seen people anticipate the passes in a while.
Yeah, I mean, he does... Just about every night he makes a ridiculous defensive play, at least one. Tonight it was three of them. The play where he leaped up to snatch Elfrid Payton's pass. The one where Serge Ibaka caught it at the top of the key and Marcus was like, nah, bruh, that's mine. And then the Aaron Gordon fast break attempt where Smart just pinned it off the backboard. He got called for a foul, but it was clean. The ball was clean. So Marcus Smart always... That's kind of just what he does. I think what's notable, two things are notable about the last two games. First of all, Celtics have had great defensive rebounding performances in both of them. You know, they only gave up 7 rebounds against a Houston Rockets team that is among the top offensive rebounding teams in the NBA. And then the Orlando Magic only got 8 offensive rebounds on 51 misses, which is a minuscule percentage. So Celtics really rebounded the ball. And another thing, again, in that Rockets game, with the exception of the IT and D lineup, Stevens went away from the Smart Bradley IT lineup, which has really not been good defensively. And the defense has been much better. Obviously, you can't play that when Isaiah Thomas missed the game like he did against Orlando. So I don't think it's a coincidence that the defense has been a lot better since they went away from those lineups.
Yeah, and that's just part of the experimentation and figuring things out. Of course, Orlando, as hot as they were in the past few games, coming into this, winners of 3 in a row, beating San Antonio a few games ago. So, yeah, they were hot, but still, they're not great. So it kind of helps that things kind of came together. And sometimes when a guy like Isaiah Thomas is out and you can't rely on him to bail you out, everybody feels the need to step up. It's almost like the Bill Simmons Ewing theory, where when your star player is out, your team kind of plays better sometimes. Sometimes I can see the Celtics just, here you go, Isaiah, just bail us out, do something, please do something great, and he does. When he's not there to do that, everyone understands, like, okay, now I got to do something. I got to play better. And that means maybe some crisper passing, maybe a little less standing and watching. And that's kind of on everybody on the team. And so, like, and, you know, somebody like Maz tweets out, like, oh, is it me or is the ball moving better without Isaiah? Screw you, Maz. I like to see the guys coming together and raising their games in the absence of Isaiah Thomas and doing things like stepping up their defense and rotating better and just passing better and getting themselves open looks. Guy like Kelly Olynyk, who, you know, really seemed more aggressive tonight overall, and not something that you normally see. But Jaylen Brown just attacking. Oh my God. What Jaylen Brown did to Vucevic, holy shit. Can we just take a second? I'm just going to derail myself here.
I got to say something about that, though. Like, if you get dunked on, I don't care what happened to your eye. You cannot reach up to your eye and look down. Because no. It almost looked like Vucevic was crying.
Yes.
After getting dunked on.
Yes.
I literally, like, you could have a scorpion crawling in your eye and you should not reach up to touch it. Like, just let it go. Pretend like your eye's okay and fix it later on, because otherwise you look like you started bawling because Jaylen Brown dunked on your head.
Ma, he hit me in the eye. No. So I'm standing there in front of my TV because I've just begun watching the game standing in front of my TV rather than sitting. And as soon as Jaylen Brown got the ball, I said out loud, ooh, dunk on him. And then he did. And I didn't realize it was going to be like that. But Jaylen's now had, what, three pretty solid games in a row. So slowly things are starting to come together just a little bit for the Celtics. And you look at tonight's box score. You had, what do you have, seven guys scoring in double digits. You had them shooting 51%. And no, they didn't shoot great from three overall, but they shot much better in the second half. After Orlando got off to a hot start, they shot just 37% from the field. And that includes 42% from three. The Celtics had more free throws. The Celtics had more rebounds. The Celtics had more assists. The Celtics had fewer turnovers. Just this is what you wanted the team to do on a night like this. And now the question is, will Isaiah be healthy enough to come back and face San Antonio and Toronto?
Toronto up next. Friday meeting with the Toronto Raptors. That could be a good one. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm looking at the numbers right now. After the first 6 minutes of the Orlando game, the Magic shot 25 for 72, 34.7%. That is a mighty defensive performance from Boston. Obviously, the Magic aren't a good offensive team. They play a strange amount of limited big men. Jeff Green had a classic Jeff Green special. Basically, the only time I noticed him was when he tried the sky hook in the middle of the lane, and it was disgusting. He only had one bucket. By the way, I feel like covering Jeff Green, watching Jeff Green, like, you almost get like post-traumatic Jeff Green disorder. Like, just...
That's true.
Just having this guy with what seems like all this talent, and he just... Just when you think he's gonna get it going, he disappears. Just when you think he's gonna continue disappearing, a loud performance. Jeff Green, there's still a little post-traumatic Jeff Green disorder. So, thanks Jeff Green for giving me that. I appreciate that quite a bit.
Yeah, it's just Jeff Green is. He's the classic just what-if guy. Just what if – and I know he had that thing.
Let's stop. Let's just stop talking about him.
Okay.
Let's
stop. Right.
We don't have to. We don't have to anymore.
We don't have to. He's Orlando's problem now. And maybe after Orlando, some other team will convince themselves to say, you know what, a little change of scenery might do him good. So, but who knows. One thing I wanted to make note of. And this is just something else new that Avery Bradley has been doing is that he's been creating for himself off of the dribble, which is, I know we've talked about it this year, but just watching him do this Isaiah Thomas impression. He did it once early in the game where he drove, like started to drive and step back and then started to drive again. it's just amazing to see how well he's handling the ball and going off the dribble. And that's something that you should see in person. And there's one way to do that is by downloading the SeatGeek app. And SeatGeek, here's the great thing about SeatGeek. They make it easy to scan all of the ticket sites. They do all of the work for you. They find all of the great deals. If you want to sit on the floor, if you want to sit in the mezzanine, if you want to sit up in the rafters, wherever you do it, you can do it. You can watch Avery Bradley display his newfound ball handling skills at home or on the road with the SeatGeek app. It's the best deal on every ticket. And when you download it and you open it up, you'll see they have the red, the yellow, the green. You know the red seats are not maybe the best deals. And they'll just put it out there rather than just saying, here, here's some tickets. So every ticket that you buy in SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. And as a listener of the Locked On Celtics podcast, you get a $20 rebate. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter LO Celtics, you get $20 back after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter LO Celtics, and you will be in the arena at a moment's notice. Show them your phone. You don't have to print any tickets. Every ticket you buy backed by their 100% guarantee, the most bang for your buck. I have used it. I'm a very satisfied customer. LO Celtics is the promo code on the SeatGeek app. You can watch Avery Bradley go out there and do like hesitation dribbles. Step forward, step back, change speeds, change directions. And I mean, that's a completely new feature to Avery Bradley's game this year, Jay.
Yeah, and I thought tonight was the best he's played as a playmaker in a while. I thought he really made a commitment to take only good shots and not settle. I think, you know, the past couple of weeks he had kind of regressed with his playmaking a little bit and hadn't been getting into the lane, hadn't been breaking down defenses as much. I thought today he was content with slipping the pass to Horford. He took the shots when he was open. He made some nice moves to the hoop, as you said. So I thought this was Avery Bradley's cleanest game in a while. I thought he made the best decisions in this game and kind of reverted back to the way that he played earlier in the season when everyone was freaking out about all his newfound playmaking skills. So just a great game from Avery Bradley. Really a great game from just about everybody on the roster. I mean, I barely even mentioned Jay Crowder in my recap, and he had 15 points and 10 rebounds. It was one of those games where everybody who stepped on the court was great, and just another promising performance from the bench, which is a big deal because the bench hasn't been great all season. The last two games, two of the most complete games the Celtics have played all year. So they're starting to play well, which is good because the Raptors are coming in next. Then they go to OKC and San Antonio. It's a tough little stretch of basketball coming up.
Yeah, and that experience is going to help out in the future. You never know when you're going to have to call on those guys. Jaylen Brown, like I said, had a nice game. He's had a few nice games in a row. And let's see. Rozier had 16 points. Brown had 13. Jarebko, it's so funny. Jarebko had no points. How did he have no points, but he was a plus 15? That is, let's see. That's the best on the bench. Jarebko came in, and I thought he had a nice game. And you won't see it in the box score, but I thought Jarebko had a very positive impact without scoring at all, which is weird for Jarebko. But some really big rebounds. Did he have a couple of assists? Yeah, he had four assists.
The Celtics won by 30 points, and Al Horford, Kelly Olynyk, and Jonas Jarebko, three of their best shooters, combined to go 0-for-8 from behind the arc. So that shows just how dominant they were. And I mean, really, it really was just a absolute powerhouse game for them.
Here's one thing I really want to mention is Marcus Smart. And we give Marcus Smart a lot of shit. But I feel like today in the role where he was the starting point guard and asked to control the game and distribute and control the offense, he did exactly what he was asked to do. On top of the defense where he just played like a guy who was in the Matrix, he, on offense, he passed up three-pointers that he would normally take. He only took 2 3-pointers, shot 5 of 7, 2 of 2 from the line. He had a couple of assists. He was a plus 19, 13 points, but he really just controlled the game when he was in there. And a couple of times he got himself into the post against a similarly sized player, maybe a smaller player. I love Marcus Smart in the post. I love getting it to him in the post. Every now and again, he's got great footwork down there. He really is almost like a big in a guard's body. He's a big, beefy guy, so he can handle himself down there. But Marcus Smart's overall game today was really, really, really good.
Yeah, and it helped him that Isaiah Thomas wasn't out there, because if Isaiah Thomas was out there, then DJ Augustine would have been guarding Thomas and Smart would have had a bigger guy on him, wouldn't have had such a mismatch in the post. So he got a couple opportunities because Thomas wasn't there. And that's probably the only way Isaiah Thomas missing the game helped the Celtics offense. Obviously, he's a great offensive player, but they were just fantastic in this game without him. They moved the ball. So even in the first half, they shot 2 for 15 from the 3-point arc, but the commitment to getting good shots, I thought, was there the whole night. They really, really moved the ball well. They didn't let themselves get derailed by the fact that they weren't taking good shots. And I thought that was really promising. I think Avery Bradley said on Comcast after the game, he said, "I think Brad's going to be pretty happy with this one." So that was a good way to sum it up. Like, they really, really, really played a great game, both ends of the ball. And that second half, I mean, they outscored the Magic 68-37 after halftime, which is just outrageous.
Dominant. So, all right. So the offensive numbers look great. The defensive numbers look great. Let me just, before we wrap this up, I'm just going to throw this out there to you, because you know the trolls are going to be out there. And there are people who have suggested this already. Look at what they did without Isaiah Thomas. And Maz is saying, hey, the ball moved better without Isaiah Thomas, blah, blah, blah. There will be people who suggest that Isaiah moves back to the bench and then you shake up the starting lineup by putting Marcus in the starting lineup and bring Isaiah off the bench.
See,
I
want to say you're wrong, but the last time I did that was when we were talking about the Al Horford's child. And I was like, I think that's just a couple Twitter eggs. And then I'm watching Comcast later and Mike Felger's like, yeah, you should have taken a jet to the game. Never should have missed that one. So I won't be surprised. Nothing will surprise me from now on.
We're on the same page. I'm not suggesting it myself at all. Like, I love IT. He should absolutely be the starter. But we know who controls the narrative in Boston. And it's, as much as I'd love it to be us, it's guys like Maz, it's guys like Felger who have the top rated radio show, and they will form public opinion on this, and they'll say, hey, look, the Celtics haven't won a game by 30 until Isaiah sat down, without taking into account a lot of the things that went into this, Orlando not being great, Orlando being on a back-to-back, and the possibility of the Celtics kind of raising their game without Isaiah Thomas, knowing that he's not there. And let me tell you, knowing that he's not there is different than him coming off of the bench. Knowing that your star player isn't there, and for one game against a bad team who's coming off of a back-to-back, you can sit there and say, all right, guys, let's do it for Isaiah. Like, that is fine.
Yep. I mean, they played a great game, and they needed that. They needed that because they were coming off the tough loss to Houston. They have a tough stretch coming up. They're 13-9, not great. So I think that they really needed that one. And best game of the season. First real huge blowout win of the season. First game where the whole team, I thought, really played well. So all good from the Celtics tonight. Nothing really to complain about. I got nothing to complain about. I got no complaints except for
what?
Yelling at straw men who might complain about Isaiah Thomas later.
It's just preemptive. It's just preemptive. I'm just putting it out there.
We got to fire the first shot, man.
You know why? Yeah,
the
best defense
shot.
Is a good offense, because I know some assholes are going to be out there saying this. Now, if you're listening to us, first of all, thank you for listening. We appreciate everybody listening and for downloading us. If you're a iTunes person or an Android person on Google Play, on Stitcher, the TuneIn app, or wherever you do it, thank you. So I want to say that. If you're a first-time listener, thanks for that. I hope you're a multiple-time listener after that. You should subscribe to us on those outlets. Download us for your morning drive, for your drive home, for your workouts, for lunch, whatever. Just put us in a headphone when you're pretending to go to work. If you're at whatever it is, just thanks for listening.
Yeah, you should listen to us just to hear Millie's.
Absolutely, with that fire intro. But, you know, we should be the definitive voice when it comes to the Boston Celtics in Boston and around the country and around the world. However, reality
we are the definitive voice around the world,
the world. But other people have a bigger platform right now. That's just the reality. And those people are idiots and liars. And that's just what it is. Trolls that say things to get you all pissed off and misinform you. So when you listen to Felger and Maz, and you know, because Maz decided to watch a game, he never tweets about the Celtics, but tonight he decided to watch. You know that Thursday is going to be full of Isaiah Thomas hate. Don't buy it. Listen to us. Tell your friends, don't buy it. Listen to us. When they're on and they say, hey, we're going to talk Celtics, shut it off. Plug us into your aux outlet there in your car. Hit the podcast and just listen to us. That's a much better option. So, but we have to fire the preemptive strike. We have to, because they're just, just what it is. It's just what it is. All right. I think that's good, man. We're both happy. We're ending on a happy note. The Celtics just blew the doors off Orlando by 30 points, 117-87. A nice, well-rounded win. 23 points from Avery Bradley. Nice, solid 50% shooting night from AB. Loud, some attitude, a couple of texts, him and Jonas. Nice, I like that. A little bit of attitude, some loudness, some caps lock basketball, as Jay King would say. we didn't even talk about Jay Crowder, who had a nice game, 17-10. But really just a nice all-around win. And so the Celtics now move on to a very tough stretch in their schedule. They got Toronto. A win against Toronto would be huge, a big statement win there. They got revenge on their mind against San Antonio, and just a tough December just rolling along. So that's it. Thanks for listening to the show. Before we go, before we wrap up, I'm going to give you a little bit of me with the fellas from the PM Jab up in Portland, Maine. Chris and Javier have me on every Wednesday night, so I'll share that with you as we go into the break. Thanks for listening. Thanks for enjoying this win with us. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics. Millie's.
Welcome back. PM Jab, Javier Garrity, Chris Sedanka rolling on a Wednesday afternoon. Joining us on the line now from RedsArmy.com. Also the Locked On Celtics podcast at RedsArmy_John on Twitter. It's John Corrales. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, buddy.
Good, good. Glad I got you on. That was a little hairy there for a second.
Yeah, my connection's a little bit off like the Celtics.
Thank God for long bumpers. That's what I'm going to say. All right, so it sounds like Isaiah might miss tonight's game or is going to miss tonight's game. How concerned should we be about a groin injury for a player that relies on his quickness?
A little bit concerned. I mean, he did finish the game, so he hurt it in the second quarter of the Rockets game, so he still finished, but it did cost him a little bit. He said it affected his lift, so it makes sense to sit him at least for this game. I know Orlando is hot, but the Celtics should be able to beat them without Isaiah Thomas. They might struggle a little bit to score, but they've this season, unlike last season, been able to score without him a little bit. But look, Isaiah, especially against bigger teams, has struggled. And if he was going to go flying into the lane, he was definitely going to fall and hit the deck a lot. No point in him aggravating that injury and making it worse. I'd rather see him miss one game this week, hopefully just one game, rather than going out there and really doing some damage and missing a really tough stretch against some tough teams coming up.
John, the Houston game was certainly frustrating down the stretch. Couldn't make the shot when they needed to. That let Houston kind of sneak back into that one, especially after controlling quite a bit in that second half. But ultimately also showed you that this is a team that can really compete. And I think you can take that away. And they won the games they were supposed to leading up to that Houston game. So, as kind of inconsistent we've seen this team kind of this year, and you know, some of that obviously due to injury, ultimately we're not in bad shape right now considering what we have what we've seen the last couple of weeks.
No, when you look at everything the Celtics have gone through to be where they are, not too bad. They're within striking distance. They're where they need to be, and maybe that means at the end of the season they're not a 53 or 54 win team that maybe the high end of the projections made them out to be, but the end win total doesn't matter as long as they're in position, that second or third spot that we thought that they'd be. And that's what they seem to be. Chicago is going to be struggling. They're going to fall off. Other teams, Detroit, Miami, all those teams that might've been challengers are not really in that position. So Celtics are not in a bad spot. And, yeah, Houston was frustrating, but if Al Horford had made that layup, which he would make 99 times out of 100, that was the one time he wouldn't make it. If he made that, we would be looking at that as a signature win of the season. And everything would be positive, and we'd be feeling real good right now. But he missed the layup, and that kind of paints the rest of the game in a bad light. They did a great job offensively. They did a great job on the boards. They did a lot of things well. So some things are starting to come together, and you hopefully moving forward that the lessons that the players have learned, that Brad Stevens has learned, we're going to start to apply those, and you'll see a little bit more success.
Well, John, you know, I agree with you what you say about that Houston game, and if the layup goes in, we're looking at it differently, but that's sports, right? That's the part of the beauty, the love and the pain of the whole thing. Does, you know, I'm not saying the Celtics like need a signature win or the season's lost or anything like that, but it would be nice to see the Seas beat one of these really good teams on the road. It kind of, you know, establish that within their own locker room, right? I mean, it'd be nice to see them pull one of those out.
Oh yeah, I mean that's for your own mental well-being and for the fans' mental well-being. You want to feel good about yourself, and you want to feel good. Moral victories are fine, but that's just searching for silver lining. So I could sit there and get fired from my job and say, well, I did all these great things. You still don't have a job.
Right.
So they still, you know, there's positives in a lot of things, and I tend to skew positive myself. But, yeah, of course you want to win that game. That's huge. You want to – because when you win the game, you go into the locker room, you get to pop a beer, you get to get in the plane and you celebrate and feel good about yourself instead of moping and wondering, oh, what could I have done? I feel bad for Al Horford. This guy has been a monster since he's come back. He's playing out of his mind. He's passing. He's shooting well. He's rebounding. He's defending. And that happens. And it's like, oh, man, it just feels horrible for the guy. Yeah, the Celtics need to go out there and win. They need to win this game, not in a must-win situation. But if you go into Orlando, and even without Isaiah Thomas, you can't beat the Magic. And I know they're on a little bit of a roll, but if you can't beat the Magic, then you got some problems because you got the Spurs and you've got the Raptors coming up, and it's just you got to be careful. You got to be careful, and you don't fall into a little bit of a rut.
You know, John, you mentioned the Al Horford layup attempt, and it was unfortunate to see that not go, because really we're finally starting to see, I shouldn't say finally, but we're seeing what we expected to see from Al Horford, what he can bring to the table, especially coming back from that injury and how good he has looked. And he's starting to rebound better, and he's scoring all over the floor, and he's being that general that I think a lot of people expected him to be.
Yeah, I mean, what he really does is he allows the Celtics to not even play him and Isaiah Thomas together in a lot of instances. Obviously, they start the game together and they finish the game together and they play different stretches, but you could take Isaiah out and run an offense, an effective offense, through Al Horford because he's tall, he's good, he's got great instincts, has a great grasp of where his teammates are going to be, he makes good passes, good decisions, he sets picks that lead to baskets, he sets picks that lead to guys, all of this stuff. He has a domino effect, a positive domino effect. He makes some good defensive decisions. He does a lot of things really, really well. If you follow me on Twitter, a lot of times after he does something, I just like to say, Al Horford is good at basketball, because that's what he is. Simply put, he is good at basketball and every aspect of it.
Oh, wonder what your thoughts are on Jaylen Brown so far. We've started to get the calls of people that are getting a little antsy. So we told them to relax, but just your thoughts so far.
Yes, please, people, relax, because he's 2 months into his NBA career. No player is great 2 months into his NBA career, with like minimal exceptions. Most guys kind of stink. Garnett was not great 2 months into his NBA career. Now, obviously, we don't know what Jaylen Brown's going to be, but when the season started, we said, it's going to take a little bit of time, and he has this luxury. There's no pressure. He's not going to be asked to come in here and be Carl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis or Ben Simmons or any of these guys that are thrust into bad situations and being told, here you go, here's 30-plus minutes a game. You know, throw people into the deep end and see if they can swim. That's not what Jaylen Brown's being asked to do. He's being asked to play a little bit of a role, go out there, play a few minutes here and there as a wing, big defender, maybe get out there in transition, try not to hurt the team, and figure it out slowly. They can bring him along. It's a luxury that they have. There's no need to expect a lot of things out of him right now. That's a good thing. You want him to go and fail and learn. Obviously, no, you want him to go and be great. But when he fails, that's a good thing to go back and look at the film and practice. And every time they practice, he's playing against the Celtics' first team. That's a pretty good team to be playing against every day in practice. So he's going to learn. He's going to figure things out. And it's not going to be showing up in the box scores all the time. He's had a couple of good games too. The Houston game, he played pretty well. He did okay in Philly. He's actually playing some of his better minutes of the season. But don't overreact. Don't even think about Jaylen Brown this year. Just don't. For your own peace of mind, because give him 21 years old. He played 1 year at Cal, and that was a bad situation at Cal. He was not in the right school. He was not in the right system. So, God, it's like somebody going into college, going to half a semester in classes and saying, oh, you're never going to pan out in this major. Give him some time.
John, where's the alarm right now, though, when you look at some of these players? And I'm not saying there has to be, but are there guys where you're kind of hoping they start to step up a little bit? I know that the famous one that we always like to talk about, it seems like every single year, is Marcus Smart, but I just don't know how much more Marcus Smart is going to be as a scorer in this league. I mean, he's never been a really good shooter, as we know, and I don't know how much that's going to continue to improve. But ultimately, you know, when you look at this squad right now, who'd you like to see step up, I guess, is a better way to put that.
Well, the two names are obviously Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk. I mean, those are the guys. Kelly Olynyk especially. But it's hard to keep in mind that he's coming off of a shoulder injury, and that can affect some of his aggressiveness. Maybe he's not fully there mentally and he doesn't want to hurt that shoulder again, or maybe this is just who he's going to be. I don't know. But when we look at guys like Avery Bradley, you can see it doesn't all happen right away. Just like Jaylen Brown, we're saying don't be too pushy about him. Guys like Olynyk, guys like Smart, they may be a year or two or three away from actually finding their groove. And does that mean that they're going to do it with the Celtics? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm hesitant to say that this is who these people are at this point in their careers. Now, Olynyk, his mentality seems to be a bit more passive. It's hard to imagine that he's going to suddenly go from Kelly Olynyk to Russell Westbrook mindset, where it's just attack with reckless abandon and try to rip the rim off the backboard every time. But he may find a groove somewhere where he steps up a little bit and enough to be a much bigger contributor to the Celtics. Marcus Smart, there are things I'd like him to, I'd like to see him flop a little bit less. Some of those instances where he's flying out of control, maybe if he had just made the right basketball play, it would have been a little bit more effective. That's something I hope that he can start to get away from. But, I mean, it kind of is who he is, and hopefully he can tone it down a little bit. But, God, you never know what his shot's going to end up looking like. Maybe his shot comes back or rounds into form at the end of the season, next season. You know, I just heard a podcast the other day where they were talking about Michael Redd, who retired as one of the NBA's all-time great shooters, but came into the league as a non-shooter. So you look at guys like Jason Kidd, who came in as a non-shooter and became a really good shooter. So I don't know if that's what Marcus Smart's ever going to be, but it's possible that a guy who comes into the league not being able to shoot can figure it out. You just have to work at it and find a form or something that works.
Well, on the other end of the spectrum, guys that have played well, and, you know, we talked about Isaiah to start the interview and his injury tonight, but I mean, he's been unreal, averaging 26 points a game. And look, I mean, you know, I think, you know, last year he made the All-Star game and people kind of wait and see, you know, is he going to be able to keep it up at that size? And there's always those sort of built-in worries with a guy that's small, especially in that league. And I guess to some point justifiably, but I think through what he's done early in this season, I think he's answered a lot of those questions. You know, in your mind, how good is Isaiah, and he's the best point guard the Celtics have had since who?
He is. Wow, you're gonna kill me on this one, man. He's better than Rondo, so you got to go back to DJ. And he's obviously a much better offensive player than DJ, but DJ was one of the best defensive guards in the league. So, and my 80s bias won't let me put anybody better than that. So that's about where I'm going to stop. So he's obviously one of the best point guards in the league. I'd probably put him just outside of the elite class, which is, you know, Chris Paul and those guys, that Steph Curry, that level of player. He's not there, but he's in that next class. So whether you rank him fifth, sixth, seventh in the league, I think that's about right for him. And yeah, I'm a little concerned because of his size. There are certain things that he can't do. He'll never be a good defender as much as he tries to be. He's not like Kyrie Irving, who is a bad defender by choice. He is just lazy, and he's not like Damian Lillard, who is a bad defender by choice. They do not play defense. He is as good offensively as those guys are. So take that for what it's worth. But because of his size, that his limitations, he does struggle against bigger teams. So sometimes you got to adjust, and that's why having shooters around for the Celtics really, really helps. And sometimes he just is so crafty, it doesn't matter. He'll still, at his size, get his shot off, which makes him an all-star player. He is, again, going to be an all-star player and may well be for the next couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised if he has three or four under his belt by the time it's all said and done, which is amazing for him. So, but built-in limitations at his size, he does hit the floor a lot. He hits the floor so much, and it's scary because that all takes a toll. Each time he hits the floor, it's like somebody smoking a cigarette takes a day off of your life. Each time he hits the floor, it takes a day off of his NBA life. It feels like he hurts his wrist, you know, he hits his tailbone. So it's always going to be something, and you're a little bit afraid But he's that without playing that way, he's not going to be Isaiah Thomas. I'll tie it into Larry Bird's birthday today. Larry Bird said the way he played was the only way he knew how to play, and he knew that that would shorten his career, but he knew no other way, and that's what made him great. Now, Isaiah Thomas is not Larry Bird, but what makes him as good as he is his style of play. Fearless, go in, throw yourself into the trees, get a bunch of fouls, hit some amazing shots, and hit the floor. That's the only way he knows how to play. That's the only way he can be Isaiah Thomas. So we just got to take the good with the bad.
Seas take on Orlando tonight. John, enjoy that game. Thanks so much for coming on. Always appreciate your time, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud.
Take care, buddy.
That's John Corrales, folks, from RedsArmy.com. You can find him on Twitter at RedsArmy_. John, check out his podcast, too, Locked on Celtics. We got to take a quick break. Your calls are next. This is the PM Jab. Stick around.
The Big Jab Ski Report is brought to you by Royal River Heat Pump.